All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Sorry about missing last night. It felt like garbage all day. You can hear it. I feel much better today. Don't sound that great, but I feel way better. Let me say it, everybody in the chat. Clean Sanchez is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Granite 2468 is on. TJT1 is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Bill F1 is on. Golfmaster 1 is on. Spaz 64 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Mike Griffith's on. Green Rose. Patriot is on. Milwaukee James is on. Man, this thing is jacked. Man, look at this thing tonight.
Holy cow.
See it?
Yeah.
Man, this thing is jacked. Rumble is a little jacked up tonight. I don't know what their deal is. There we go. Stephan Toms is on. Robin Aroni is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Cannon on. Patriot is on. Todd Stuff is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Crowlet is on. Goosey 600 is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. If I didn't say before, Richard Perry 49 is on. Those Jesus People is on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Pumpkin Drifting on Wood is on. Confederate One is on. PJ Wiles One is on. Whammy Jammer is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. JD Wool is on. Let me see here. Granite. Oh, I got Granite already. Let me see. Hector Antonio is on. Big Scott One is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. TJT One is on. Snag Dog is on. Uncle Wally is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. All right, big news today. A couple of things we got to go over. The tariffs. Just so everybody knows, saw this right before the podcast. Senate has already voted to remove Trump's tariffs. Yeah, 51-48 vote, and it's a bill actually sponsored by Rand Paul. That's where we're at. I mean, wow. Now there's lots of debates about, and you're like, Tom, you always talk, you know, about how great Rand Paul is. I agree. Obviously, don't agree on this thing. Is eventually somebody's going to have to do something about our trade debt and deficit. Someone's going to have to do something about it. Nobody ever wants to do it because they're afraid their constituencies will hold them accountable. I'm going to tell you something. That is the problem with so many people, is they're afraid of what doing right will cost them.
Yeah.
That's the problem. The same thing with COVID, whether they're cops, whether they were doctors. Doctors knew masks don't work, but they went ahead and they acted like they did anyway so that they wouldn't suffer the social ramifications of speaking the truth. The same thing with anything. You're a cop. Are you going to make an unlawful arrest? If you don't make the unlawful arrest, you could get fired. Well, you don't make the unlawful arrest, and you go ahead and you get fired, and you sue and you get millions of dollars, whatever it is. Even if you don't get the positive outcome, you do exactly what is right. And all these Republicans, they don't want to play the tariff game because they're afraid of the short-term price increases. By the way, we're going to have some price increases. That's going to happen. But what has to happen is you have some short-term price increases, and then more infrastructure comes in and we build more, manufacture more inside the United States because the tariffs drive people to build their cars, build their whatever their goods are, manufacture their goods inside the United States of America. So you have to have short-term pain. And the short-term pain is going to be minimal considering, it wasn't all tariffs. It wasn't all the Trump tariffs. It was the Trump tariffs on Canada. That's what they voted against. The Senate. Tom, we own the Senate. Yeah, I know, but 51-48. The Trump tariffs have been removed off of Canada by the Senate. That doesn't mean it has to go through the House and everything else. But, and I don't even know then. I mean, if it's a bill, then it has to be ratified by the president.
Yeah,
so what's the point?
It.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Do you have a veto-proof majority? No. So it's just a bunch of showboating. So it's a pathetic stand by Rand Paul. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic stand. Of course, Mitch McConnell voted for it. I don't know. I wasn't able to find a list because I didn't have time to look for a list of who voted for it and who voted against it. Obviously we had Republican traitors. Well, Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul are two of them. And, you know, so that's the problem. And so it's just the Canadian tariffs. So, I mean, the Canadian tariffs, again, what's the point? It's so that they can say when the prices go up, hey, we voted against it. We voted against it. Bunch of cowards. I mean, what happens is that everybody, what they call in Washington, D.C., kicked the can down the road. They kicked the can down the road. So their constituency doesn't blame them for things. Okay, they don't blame you for things, but you destroy the country. Congratulations, you weren't blamed for it. If you don't do what's right, you're going to be blamed for destroying the country, though. I mean, it's always that way. You know, oh, good, I won a political victory. You know, so now no one's going to blame me for, you know, tariff price increases. So great, you won that victory, but you're destroying the economy. And that's the way it always goes. Everything gets kicked down the road. Now we're $36 trillion in debt. Oh, here, Aaron found it for him. Four Republican senators joined all 47 Democrats. Oh, we can already guess who they all are. We know, of course, it's Collins and Murkowski. It's so enraging. Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul. I mean, amazing that Rand Paul will do this. Yeah. I mean, even John Cornyn didn't do it.
Yeah.
But Rand Paul does. And he thinks what that makes him is some sort of, he's proving that he's not a Trump acolyte. No, what it does is prove that you're worried that the people of Kentucky will blame you for price increases and you're too much of a coward to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Because of the short-term social ramifications of people blaming you. You might lose your senatorial position if you vote correctly. What do you do, Aaron, if it comes to voting correctly or losing your senatorial position?
Vote correctly.
There you
time.
Go. Right. That's what you do.
Yep.
You vote correctly. And if it costs you to lose your senatorial position, you lose it. That's the way that it is. Just like right here. I mean, it can't happen at Foundation Church because I don't have anybody that can vote me out. But
true.
I'll preach whatever I want.
Yep.
And if people don't like it, I don't care. That's I'm going to preach the Bible. That's it. And people don't like it, that's fine. You can come and go as you please. But that's the problem in this country right now. And this is why. And again, this is going nowhere. This is all show vote. This is just like when they voted down Obamacare. Whenever the Senate, and this includes Rand Paul, voted down Obamacare, they only voted to vote down Obamacare when they knew they didn't have a veto-proof majority. That's why they did it.
Yeah.
They made sure. And when they finally, all they needed was a simple majority because Trump would have signed the bill to get rid of Obamacare, John McCain voted to keep Obamacare. And I'm not saying that Rand Paul wanted to keep Obamacare. This is just a shameful act by him. Murkowski and Collins, Maine and Alaska, they're just Democrats. I can't believe, I mean, Maine, we may never get. But Alaska, Murkowski is simply there because her daddy gave her that seat. And she needs to be voted out. Even though they have that ranked choice balloting, ranked choice voting, she can still be voted out. All right, so let's look at these tariffs real quick. Gunther Eagleman video. Here's Trump signing the tariffs. Play for me. So there you go. So Trump signed the tariffs. Let's go to the next one. Here's the statement on the tariffs. Play it for me.
The United States charges other countries only a 2.4 tariff on motorcycles. Meanwhile, Thailand and others are charging much higher prices, like 60%. India charges 70%. Vietnam charges 75%, and others are even higher than that. Likewise, until today, the United States has for decades charged a 2.5 tariff. Think of that, 2.5% on foreign-made automobiles. The European Union charges us more than 10% tariffs, and they have 20% VATs, much, much higher. India charges 70%, and perhaps worst of all are the non-monetary restrictions imposed by South Korea, Japan, and very many other nations. As a result of these colossal trade barriers, 81% of the cars in South Korea are made in South Korea. 94% of the cars in Japan are made in Japan. Toyota sells 1 million foreign-made automobiles into the United States, and General Motors sells almost none. Ford sells very little. None of our companies are allowed to go into other countries. And I say that, friend and foe. And in many cases, the friend is worse than the foe in terms of trade. But such horrendous imbalances have devastated our industrial base and put our national security at risk. I don't blame these other countries at all for this calamity. I blame former presidents and past leaders who weren't doing their job. They let it happen, and they let it happen to an extent that nobody can even believe. That's why, effective at midnight, we will impose a 25% tariff on all foreign-made automobiles.
All right, so there you go, Aaron. When you can pop up that Canadian thing, that'd be good. Can you put it up? There you go. Just wanted to show you this. I know we moved on to the list of nations, and I'm going to get to that because he was talking about all different countries, because this is obviously a tariff problem with many, many other countries that we trade with. But I just wanted to, this is Canada. Now, Rand Paul, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins all voted to keep this in place. Now, it's not going to happen because it's not going to get through the House, probably. And even if it is, they don't have a veto-proof majority in the Senate. So it doesn't matter. It's just a show vote for the various societal reasons I already laid out. But anyway, so here it is. This is what Rand Paul wants to keep. And you're like, Tom, I thought you loved Rand. Listen, when you do something stupid, I'm going to call it out.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Okay. So Rand Paul wants to keep in place that Canadians pay 0% tariff for their milk to come in the United States. That's like Fairlife. You ever have Fairlife? I like Fairlife. Comes in 0% tariff. We, on the other end, 270% tariff going into Canada. Explain. I would love Rand Paul to go on a TV show and explain to us, line by line, why he wants to keep these tariffs in place. Why don't we just go 0 for 0? How's that sound?
Yeah.
How about that? Or 10 for 10, whatever you want to do, which would amount to 0 for 0. Why not? Cheese, 245%. What do they pay? None. Butter, 300%. None for us. I mean, we pay 298% to ship our butter and to sell our butter in Canada. So, you know, you say it was, you know, $1. So it turns into $4.
Yeah.
They, nothing. Chicken, 238%. Them, nothing. We pay for turkey, 154% to sell in Canada, them, nothing. Eggs, 163%, nothing for them. Yogurt, 237%, nothing for them. Sausages, 70%, nothing for them. Copper, 48%, nothing for them. I would love Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins to explain to us the virtue behind them wanting to drop us tariffing Canada back. I mean, they're not advocating for Canada to lower their tariffs. They're just simply saying that we shouldn't tariff them back.
Yeah.
Explain that to me. I mean, there's nothing really else. There's nothing else to say, because there's absolutely no logic behind voting to remove the tariffs off of Canada. First of all, your vote's not going to do anything, so it's a giant waste of time. About $1 million down the drain for them to waste all that time putting together this bill. And you're giving the Democrats momentum. Now Rand Paul, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, and Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is no longer coherent. So I mean, literally, he's wheeled out of the Senate today. He's incoherent. This is getting to be a Dianne Feinstein situation. He's incoherent. I would just love for one of them to explain to me the virtue behind this. I would love to see it. Now you give Democrats momentum. So the Democrats can say, look, this is a bipartisan bill. We have Republicans on our side. Fantastic job. I wonder why it is we never can make actual any conservative progress in this country. All right, put up that list for me. Here's the list that Trump actually held this chart next to himself today. I won't read all these to you, but this is it. So the tariffs charged to the USA to the left, USA discounted reciprocal tariffs. We're still not even matching their tariffs. 67% China charges us. We're going 34%. 40%. From European Union, we're charging them 20%. 90% from Vietnam, we're charging them 46%. Taiwan, 64%, we're charging them 32%. Imagine what they were before this. And how can anybody be against this? What sense does it make, except if somehow you're financially benefiting off of these tariffs? You're benefiting off of the United States being tariffed and other countries not being tariffed. Maybe you're part of an NGO that lobbies D.C., to not tariff. Is that what it is? Well, we're going to get into that. All right, let's go to the next one for me. I don't even know where I am. All right, here we go. Alex video. And by the way, here, this is the funniest part. So you have Rand Paul, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Mitch McConnell vote to remove the Canadian tariffs, right? Canada already caved. Play it for me.
Let's sit down and discuss this, because it's just going to hurt American jobs. I can't stress it enough. And, you know, again, he believes he's supporting Americans. He said he was going to create jobs, create wealth, reduce inflation. It's worked the total opposite. Inflation.
But do you think it's fair that you have tariffs on a whole number of products?
That's right. And we'd be willing to take those off tomorrow if he took all the tariffs off. We are not the problem. Andrew, do you know the problem is? China's the problem. And he's taking a blind eye to China as they continue to build their critical mineral mass. We have all the critical minerals that our great neighbors need. We have the energy that our great neighbors need.
I just want to go back for a moment. If, in fact, you're prepared to take your tariffs off, why wouldn't you have that negotiation and that conversation now before any tariffs get put in place?
Well, we've had this conversation for over the last month. We don't want tariffs. We have another $65 billion worth of tariffs to launch today. That's the last thing we want to do, because it's just, again, it's going to hurt both countries. It's going to hurt American workers. That's the last thing I want.
No, Andrew meant take the other ones off, not the ones you're launching today.
You're saying you take all your tariffs off. I'm saying
we will take them off. That's right.
then if why is that not? I guess my question is, why has all of that not already happened? And does President Trump know that you'd be prepared to do that?
He knows, and Secretary Lutnick knows that we're willing to take these tariffs off, like in the next minute, if he said he's taking their tariffs off. So let's look at the auto sector.
Well, just so you know, Doug Ford's lying right there because they never actually have said that. He keeps saying, and you have to watch, always have to watch for these Potomac two steps, even if they are Ontario Potomac two steps, is when he said, he was asked point blank, have you made it clear that you're going to take these tariffs off? And he generalized the answer. We've said we're going to take tariffs off. And they ask all of them. He says, we would take these tariffs off if they'd simply remove theirs. We don't have any on there. They haven't been put on yet. They're being put on tonight at midnight. There aren't any for us to remove. So why don't you just simply, why haven't you not just removed all your tariffs? It's just a bunch of lies. But for the sake of argument, right there on that video, Doug Ford, Premier of Ontario, has admitted we're going to take down all the tariffs. And then you have Rand Paul voting to remove the tariffs that we're putting on Canada, even though the vote makes no sense, even though the vote will never amount to anything. And Aaron brought up a very valid point. I'm glad he thought of this. One of the biggest imports into Canada is Kentucky bourbon. So would he rather receive money from the bourbon industry than do what's right? That's the question. Do you know that for sure, Tom? No. I'm just saying, explain it, Rand. I'd love for you to get to the place. Aaron doesn't know, I was eavesdropping on him, but I was. Aaron's like, I don't trust anybody. This is why. You want to trust these people. You want to think, okay, Rand Paul, he puts out that list every year of ridiculous governmental expenditures. Well, Rand, do you realize that this is equally ridiculous?
Yeah.
Because we're getting ripped off. It's 275% tariff on our milk, and you want to keep that in place? You don't want to match it? Well, I mean, he goes, well, I don't want to keep, this is what he would say. I don't want to keep that in place. All right, well, how do you plan on taking it down then? There is no way to take it down unless you have what's called a reciprocal tariff. All right, I could talk about it all night. I can't believe it's already 9:25 and I got to move on. So here we go. All right, last night, let me go over this first. Good and bad night in elections. Really, if you look at it the way that I'm looking at it, we won 3 out of 4. All right, but we lost the big one. We lost the big one. The Brad Schimmel, Susan Crawford, Wisconsin Supreme Court race, that was lost. It was a big deal. Elon Musk had put in like $14 million into it, lost it. Pretty decisive loss from the numbers that I saw, about 9% win for Susan Crawford. I'll tell you one thing that nobody's talking about. Brad Schimmel was not the greatest candidate. And what I mean by that is there's a very popular docuseries on Netflix that a lot of people have watched called The Making of a Murderer. Mm-hmm. And it involves Brad Schimmel, and it involves, you know, a case that is very ambiguous, to say the least. And he just refused to like help out the guy that people wanted helped out. And it dealt with a juvenile offender and his uncle. So murder, whole big murder case. It's just, you have to watch it. It's excellent. It's an excellent series. But Brad Schimmel's at the center of this thing. And I would not have run the guy because of that. He can just go and, you know, he could have gone for a state rep. I mean, you just have a, you know, a small area that you're representing, not state Supreme Court. So that's one thing people are talking about. But it was a loss. And we'll get into that in just a second. Let's go over the wins real quick. Byron Donald's video. In dealing with special elections he's talking about are down in Florida. Play for me.
No. When you deal with special elections, a win is a win. First and foremost, are Democrat voters very motivated to get to the polls? Yes, they are. They're not happy with some of the things that Elon Musk is doing, going through the federal agencies, actually cleaning out the waste, fraud, and abuse that has really been damaging the federal agencies for a very long time. You see Democrat officials up here on Capitol Hill, they're upset about it. And so, yes, is the base of the Democrat Party upset? They are, and they're motivated. But when you take a step back and you look at the reality, Republican voters turned out, not to the degree of a presidential election, because that doesn't ever really occur in specials, but they turned out, and both Jimmy Patronis and Randy Fine had double-digit victories. So everything in Florida is just fine, and it's going to get better from here.
So the numbers, this is good. And by the way, in the Wisconsin elections, we lost the Supreme Court. Why that's such a big deal, Supreme Court election, is because now the court is left, not right, and they're talking about doing redistricting and redistricting to the place where Republicans lose seats, which would lose us the majority in the House. That's what everybody's very concerned about. We need to figure out strategy to combat that. But anyway, So in Florida, though, Jimmy Patronis just curb stomped. I mean, first of all, your name's gay. You're going to lose anyway. Gay Villamont. You're done. Your name's Gay Villamont. You're finished. And you got curb stomped by 15 points. So anyway, and then you had the House 6 seat, Randy Fine, curb stomped 56-42. Josh Whale, who's an effeminate man. So he lost. He got destroyed. All right, let's go to this. Nah, baby, nah tweet. I'm just going to throw this out there. Draw your own conclusions. Wisconsin uses multiple voting systems. Here we go again. Across the 72 counties. Do I believe the election was stolen? Absolutely. Absolutely. Brad Schimmel, although a flawed candidate, not because he's a flawed person, but flawed because of that series, in my opinion, on Netflix. But anyway, Wisconsin uses multiple systems across the 72 counties. Here's the breakdown by vendor. Dominion voting systems used in 41 of the 72 counties because they had record turnout for Schimmel, even though, you know, to me he wasn't the greatest candidate. They had record turnout for him and record money put into it. Election systems software, ES&S, used in 30 counties. Clear ballot used in only 2 counties. There you go. Go to the next one for me. And here it is. Out-of-state billionaires donate big money in Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Wisconsin's Supreme Court race on Tuesday could rake in $100 million in donations, with the most coming from out-of-state billionaires, including Elon Musk, George Soros, Ulines, and J.B. Pritzker. Go to the next one for me. Here it is. This is a breakdown for you. Meet the billionaires that elected Susan Crawford. So we had one, and they had five. But yet NPR, National Public Radio, which is about to be dismantled and destroyed by the Trump administration, as it should be, because it's fully staffed by Democrats. It was five Democrat billionaires. Remember, they're supposed to be the party of the common man. They're no longer the party of common man, obviously. Far more billionaires involved with the Kamala Harris campaign than the Trump campaign. The Wisconsin Supreme Court race became the most expensive judicial election in American history. Susan Crawford raised $21 million in direct contributions, much of it from billionaires like George and Alex Soros. Reid Hoffman, who's a great friend of Jeffrey Epstein, J.B. Pritzker, and Steven Spielberg, and Brad Schimmel, by comparison, raised $10 million in direct donations in comparison to $21 million. Both campaigns were also bolstered by roughly $40 million in outside spending each, with Elon Musk alone contributing up to $14 million through independent expenditures. So, obviously, Schimmel was way outspent by Crawford. And again, plus we have Dominion voting machines. He lost basically in the two counties with the two biggest cities in it. And that's what happens every time. If you're wondering why it is that you drive around Oregon and Washington State, and all you see are Trump signs, but they're always won by the Democrat, is just go to the major cities where they're manufacturing ballots. And all of this, again, I'll tell you this. We keep losing because of early voting. Republicans just won't get on board with it. I don't know what to tell you. Mm-hmm. Fighting it during the election is like not training before a fight and then training during the fight.
True, yeah.
You're totally unprepared for the fight and you think you're going to go in and win? We were down by hundreds and hundreds of thousands of votes the day of the election. And then they had, of course, various polling stations that ran out of ballots. Day of, it happened again. And yet you cannot get Republicans to vote early. I voted early in Trump game. Do I like it? No. But again, what do you bring to a gunfight? A knife or a better gun? If right now the policies that are in place are early voting, I hate it, you hate it. Republican politicians, Trump is trying to remove, to get permanent day of voting only, permanent paper ballots. I'm in favor of all that, but that's not the case in Wisconsin. So everyone waited to vote day of because the Republicans, we vote day of. Okay, you're going to lose every time. You'll lose. Why did Trump win? Record early voting. Record. He wasn't down by hundreds of thousands on each state the day of the election. Well, you have to then go to Democratic Party precincts, and you have to, Aaron, can you imagine this? Trust them.
Yeah.
Trust them that they're going to facilitate your votes correctly, no. Process your vote correctly, have enough ballots there, have the proper pens.
No way.
Okay, that's what you have to do if you're going to vote. If you're going to vote day of, no, you vote early. Right now, that's the rules. If it's no longer the rules, which I don't want it to be, that's great. I think the national election, presidential election, should be a national holiday every 4 years.
Yeah.
One day, but every election should be one day voting. One day voting, all paper ballots. All right, go to the next one for me. Let's hop out of this. Making America safe again. Here's the numbers right here. The United States southern border is safer today than any other day in American history. Here's the totals. This is very simple. This is March this year versus March of last year. Pretty easy. 137,000 border monthly total encounters. Encounters. I always call them contacts. Border encounters at the southern border under the Biden administration last March, 137,473. Under Donald Trump, 7,180 for the entire month. About 123 a day. Joe Biden was allowing in 11,000 a day. Now we have 123 encounters a day. Those 123 aren't getting in. Those are just simply encounters a day. So there's a difference. I mean, again, how in the world can you be a Democrat? I mean, all you have to do is look at the numbers. I end up watching a lot of Jessica Tarlov because I like Jesse Waters. So he pops up a lot on my timeline. So I end up watching a lot of Jessica Tarlov. How do you defend yourself as a liberal commentator, as a leftist commentator? What? And they always will go after Elon Musk for he's cutting this and he's cutting that and he's helping himself. Outline to us how he's helping himself, would you?
Right.
Tell us how. Here's just one case that Elon Musk brought up today or yesterday. He's found one person who filed 400,000 false Social Security applications. Explain to me how that's helping Elon Musk. And when you say, they always use vast generalizations, helping himself, tearing down the democracy. I want you to outline how he's helping himself and how he's tearing down the democracy. I would love to see that. All right, go to the next one for me. Speedy SMM. This is an unbelievable story. ICE agent held in contempt by Massachusetts judge. Play for me.
Well, Sandra, also in Boston, ICE there arresting another illegal alien charged with aggravated child rape. It's just the latest example in what appears to be a recurring problem in the state of Massachusetts. But instead of cooperating with federal agents, a Boston judge is now holding an ICE agent in contempt of court. This is after the agency took a different man into custody in the middle of his criminal trial. Senior correspondent Eric Sean has all the details. So, Eric, what the heck happened here?
Yeah, Bill, he was on trial in a Massachusetts state court, but the judge dismissed the case because ICE grabbed the defendant. And now that judge, well, he's blaming the ICE agent.
Where are you taking him? Where are you taking him? Where are you taking him?
Take a look at this video of William Martel LeBron as he left court on the second day of his trial in Boston. His attorney says he is being taken by ICE agents who then stashed him in an SUV and drove away. Martel LeBron is from the Dominican Republic. He is charged with giving false information when he applied for a Massachusetts driver's license. But his arrest by ICE prompted Boston Municipal Court Judge Mark Somerville to blast the agency, accusing ICE of violating Martel LeBron's rights. And he held the ICE agent in charge of the case in contempt of court.
This is a disturbing case. This is a case of obstruction of justice. It's a case of violating the defendant's right to be present at trial and confront witnesses against him. Couldn't be more serious.
Martel LeBron's lawyer, Murat Erkan, tells us that ICE, in his words, illegally kidnapped his client.
My client was disappeared in the middle of a trial in which he was defending himself against allegations that the government made. That's what occurred. And it is a sobering and highly concerning event for anybody that loves freedom and democracy in this country.
But Trump orders are a Tom Homan has accused the state of going easy on illegal immigrants. And he's promised to go to Boston himself to confront the situation.
So the judge calls, Mark Somerville, the judge calls this just a grievous event and really startling and everything else. Here's what's startling. Yeah, this guy's on trial for some sort of criminal offense. Okay, he doesn't have the right to a fair trial. Why is everybody afraid to say that? I mean, Mike Davis will say it from Article 3 Project, but he doesn't have the right to a fair trial. Right now, he's already an illegal alien. That's it. And see what the Democrat, you think about how convoluted the Democratic Party approach is right now. What they want is each criminal alien, and again, I want to make sure that everybody's, I know that every single person that has illegally entered this country is a criminal alien, But in order for ease of conversation, criminal aliens, people who committed a crime after their initial crime of illegally entering the country. Criminal alien is already under is already in this country illegally. And he's committed a crime. Now, I remember all the Democrats not saying before that if somebody commits a crime, they would immediately expel them, including Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Not convicted of a crime, committed a crime. But it doesn't matter regardless. If we don't like what they're saying, they don't have freedom of speech. We do. They don't. So we don't like what they're saying? Bye-bye. It really is that simple. They don't have the right to a speedy trial. They don't have the rights to it. He's committed an offense. It doesn't matter even if he's committed an offense. He's here illegally. And now the judge is going to charge ICE with being in contempt. That idiot right there. Looks like he's had bad plastic surgery. I mean, what Democrats want now is all the MS-13 members to be removed out of the El Salvadorian prison, back to the United States, to answer for all their criminal charges here.
Yeah.
And then if they're found guilty, deport them or house them in American prisons. Why would we bother with that? They're already here illegally. They've already committed a felony by being here illegally, and 100% of them have committed multiple felonies after they committed the initial felony of entering this country illegally. And idiots like this put an ICE agent in contempt of court? I mean, who do these judges think they are? I mean, people have been just licking his rear end for so long now that he just thinks that he must think he's president of the United States. But it's amazing. This is what, imagine being a Democrat. This is what you stand for right now, is that you had an illegal who was going through a trial, was being tried for an offense. ICE, I mean, for me, and Aaron was saying this while we were watching it, Aaron was saying, You just saved the court a whole bunch of money. You just allowed American citizens to have a much more speedy trial. You're having to try this case. ICE comes in and just removes them out of the country. You should be thanking ICE.
Yeah.
You should be sending that ICE agent, an official memorandum of thanks. Mm-hmm. Not putting him in contempt. All right, go to the next one for me. All right, Eric Doherty tweet. # breaking: President Trump's administration freezes Maine's federal funding over allowing men in women's sports. She allegedly caved, but we all knew she wasn't really going to cave. Daily Wire, they just say that so they can get the initial check rolling. They did with the illegal alien money going into the 5-star hotels in New York. They say they're not going to do it. Then they do it. They get the money. And it's almost impossible to claw back. Not in this case. Secretary Rollins, your defiance of federal law has cost your state, which is bound by Title IX, an educational program. This is only the beginning, though. You are free to end it at any time by protecting women and girls in compliance with federal law. So, she looks like a trans woman herself. She's not. That's actually a woman, but she looks like a trans woman. Maybe that's why she likes trans women, is that that's the only woman she's actually better looking than are trans women. But, so she wants guys to be in girls' locker rooms. She wants guys, men, to compete against women in sports. So under the new Title IX via executive order, you're not allowed to do that. And if you don't do it, if you don't comply with the new Title IX, then you lose your federal funding. This is what needs to happen all over the country. Mm-hmm. All over the country. No matter what it is, this is what needs to happen. If they don't comply, if you're a sanctuary city, no money. We have to play hardball. Let's go to the next one. Liz Churchill video. How does it feel now, Christine? Here's the wife of Fauci who just got fired. Play for me.
And in the end, if people decide not to get vaccinated, that in the end is their choice. Even if they're a nurse, they may not be able to work in the facility that they've been working in, but they've made a choice on their own. The thing that makes me.
So there you go. She's fired now. Anthony Fauci's wife is now fired. She was part of the NIH ethics committee that decided whether or not vaccines were ethical. As Anthony Fauci pushed them. And the only person that could really stop them via an ethics violation was his own wife. That's the setup of our government.
So unethical.
Isn't that great? All right, let's go to the next one. Chief Nerd video, must watch. This is a longer video, but it's so good. It's so good, I had to show it. I don't know, it's like 5 minutes long. But it's just too good not to show. And I usually don't like showing them. But this rises to the level that has to be shown. All right, Kylie Means goes off on Politico in a room full of anti-MAHA quote-unquote journalists and lobbyists. Play for me.
Well, right now, it seems like the first priority has actually been to make a lot of cuts. This week, there's news of massive cuts to HHS. At this point, about a quarter of HHS's 82,000 employees have left or are expected to be terminated. So just some of the changes here. You've laid off big chunks of offices in charge of vaccine and drug research, HIV AIDS research, AI, funding for services for the elderly and low-income people, STD prevention, rural health, with very little lead time.
Right.
What do you say to people in the public who are concerned now about drug safety, about whether we're prepared for the next pandemic when these cuts have happened so hard so fast?
Yeah, I'd say to the reporters in the room and the lobbyists in the room, I mean, obviously make your case, but I'd truly ask for, as you're making it, a little bit of humility about what the voters were trying to say by putting Bobby Kennedy Jr. in this position of power. I would a little bit of humility to ask why Bobby Kennedy, along with President Trump, are the two most popular political figures in America by far. What the voters are trying to say, and I think they were right, is that the system is really on the wrong track. That the existing health authorities, just demonstrably, the NIH oversaw, and this is just consensus at this point, the creation, the literal creation of a pandemic. The NIH, whose goal is to promote American health, has overseen a devastation, just an abject devastation in American health over the past 20 years, with disease rates skyrocketing in America, leading the world of almost every single chronic disease, with rates of nearly every single chronic disease being at an all-time high among kids. There's been very little innovation with small pharma, with innovative therapeutics at the FDA. It costs $1 billion to get through the process. CMS is an agency that's much larger budget than Defense Department, that's controlled by the American Medical Association, which is a pharmaceutical lobbying group and is almost predominantly sick care. So there's real problems. And you know, when you turn on CNBC, it's just a nonstop infomercial for pharma. It's a Sky Rizzi commercial followed by Scott Gottlieb saying how Bobby's killing people, followed by a breathless coverage of the measles outbreak and no mention of
the mental health crisis. How does cutting a bunch of HHS solve that problem?
It is insane. It is insane for you to insinuate that the thing standing between us and better health is more government bureaucrats. Like, that
is demonstrably
insane.
That's not what I'm insinuating.
That is what everyone's saying. It is absolutely insane to insinuate that it's some crime.
It's not all bureaucrats. It's a lot of scientists. It's researchers. It's people who are making sure that
those scientists fundamentally have overseen, just demonstrably, a record of utter failure. Of utter failure. It would be insane. Is that funny?
Is that not true?
I'd love to hear how, so what metrics would you guys point to for how the scientific community, how the four times more per capita on healthcare spending that we spend in America versus other countries has produced innovation? Has there been one single chronic disease medication in modern American history that has lowered rates of the chronic disease? Is it appropriate that the American Academy of Pediatrics right now, which is 90% funded by pharma, is pushing Ozempic on six-year-olds?
That is what the medical authorities are doing. Why not then use the power that you guys have to push the existing infrastructure in that direction instead of slashing it altogether?
It's not slashing. It's taking it back to 2017 levels. That's not slashing. The amount of bureaucrats...
It's more like 2002
levels,
actually.
In many cases, it's actually just not that much. But it is cutting, what is it, 20,000 people? It's taking the HHS back to 68,000 employees. It is absolutely, like, the idea that Bobby Kennedy should not come in and make dramatic changes to the leadership and the personnel at these authorities that have overseen an abject devastation of American health, which the lobbyists in this room do not have the humility to admit that we have gone completely wrong. The lobbyists in this room laughing when we have the sickest children in the developed world. If you guys, if that is your attitude, and your attitude is to tell the MAHA moms that their votes and their voice is not legitimate, that we need dramatic changes to American healthcare, if you think it is illegitimate for Bobby Kennedy to not make big changes to people like Peter Marks, who once again and again went against FDA advisory opinions, who fired the two top vaccine makers, the two top vaccine scientists at the FDA for suggesting that we shouldn't mandate COVID shots for soldiers, who continually went against expert opinion in favor of the pharmaceutical industry, who many people here were collaborating with him with, The fact that somebody like that can't be fired and he can't install tremendous people like Marty McCary and Jay Bhattacharya and Dr. Oz to start reforming these agencies and put in their people, of course he should do that. That's what people voted for.
Again, just imagine being on the side of people that wanted to keep HHS as is. And Aaron was running the numbers here. So you got, we've added since 2017, which is just less than 8 years ago. We've added 20,000 employees to the HHS, Health and Human Services. Has that helped anybody? I'm asking point blank. Has it helped anybody? I don't even know an HHS employee, and it definitely haven't helped anybody. So now they're just simply cutting back 20,000, and we still have 80,000 employees at HHS doing what? Doing what? Does anybody have any idea what an HHS employee actually does? We know this, because I've been pulling this right off of Callie Means' video here. Not one disease has been cured. Check mark. That's 80,000 people can't cure one disease, ever. They made sure that they fired the two leading vaccine experts during the pandemic, because those vaccine experts, who are not right-wing, I don't know whether they're right-wing or not, but they definitely weren't right-wing outspoken people, because we never saw them. They fired the two leading vaccine experts in HHS because they said the military doesn't need mandatory vaccinations. Fired them. They created the, I mean, we ought to look at this, since the HHS actually created the pandemic itself through USAID funding, NIH funding, USAID funding, backdoor funding to Ralph Baric at UNC, EcoHealth Alliance funding, to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. They actually created the pandemic. And then after they created the pandemic, all of their responses to the pandemic were wrong. And imagine being on the side of the guy in the room saying, oh, you're wrong. How is he wrong? I love what Callie Means said. What metric would you use to prove that I'm wrong? Utter failure. Not only did you create a disease, which should have you executed anyway for treason. Why is that even a thought?
Yeah.
You're going to create a disease in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, unleash it on the globe, and then offer your various vehicle solutions to the problem that you caused, and those are simply vehicles to get to the mark of the beast. You know, vaccine passports, green cards, and everything else. Not green cards, green passes. So you create the pandemic, and every single one of your solutions to the pandemic was wrong, and purposely so. And the NIH itself is controlled by Moderna. They have joint patents. America's the fastest it's ever been. Dying the youngest that's ever died in the modern era. We've lost 2 years in life expectancy. And over the last four years of 15 days to flatten the curve. 5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve. Imagine that. If you were in the crowd, the guy goes, you're wrong. How is he wrong when we've lost 2 years off life expectancy in the last 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve? How's he wrong in any way, shape, or form? And now we're seeing type 2 diabetes just show up in kids, little kids. Because they're so fat. And what's the solution? 30 Ozempic injections. Why are they not being fired? Why do we even have an HHS? What's the point?
Right.
Spend all night on that. But anyway, let's go to Judges. Rep. Jim Jordan video. Here's him talking about basically Jeb Boasberg talking to Newt Gingrich. Play for me.
Should the judge who's been assigned the Hegseth case, Judge Boasberg, should he recuse himself from that case? And understand the standard, I know you do, Speaker. The standard is a reasonable person. Would a reasonable person believe that this judge can't be impartial with this case? And I would just remind you of a couple things. This is the judge who was on the FISA court when they granted warrants to spy on President Trump's campaign. This is the judge who handled the Kevin Kleinsmith case, an FBI lawyer who lied to the FISA court to help get those warrants and was given a slap on the wrist by Judge Boasberg. Not my words, the Wall Street Journal said it, because it was. He was a member of the bar, lied to a court, and got some probationary sentence. So now this judge said, turn the plane around, and now he's been assigned the Hegseth case. And I'm just asking, do you think Judge Boasberg should recuse himself from that case?
I think this is a classic case where the Chief Justice should intervene. I mean, when you have a blatant, continuing record of prejudice, that judge should not be put in charge of a case. And as I said earlier, I'm not for going through the whole process of impeachment because I think it's at a practical level not possible. I am, however, for using the potential capacity of the Congress to simply defund, which Jefferson did and which clearly has a clearly is possible. But I think this what you just described is illustrative of why I use the term coup d'etat. You have a small group of people who believe that they have the right to arrogate rejecting the American people and doing whatever they want and cooperating with people who clearly were behaving illegally. I mean, that's one of the great tragedies of the last 6 or 8 years is it's the government which has been illegal. It's the FBI which was illegal. And how can you possibly have the rule of law when the people in charge of the law are illegal? I think in that case, you raise a very powerful point.
Imagine if your life was on the line and you had to go and stand before a judge like Jeb Boasberg, whose wife makes money off of USAID, whose daughter makes money off of USAID, then you're cutting USAID, and you had to stand before that judge. Second of all, that judge was on the FISA court that granted warrants, spy warrants, to tap Carter Page's phone. He was on there. And then Kevin Kleinsmith, FBI attorney, who lied under oath, he was going back and forth between himself and the CIA asking about Carter Page. Is Carter Page a CIA asset? CIA sends back to Kleinsmith, yes, he is. And Kleinsmith changed it to no, he isn't, so they could get the warrants. And Jeb Boasberg, who is on the court that gave him the warrants, gives him a sweetheart deal, and he's already back to practicing law. Doesn't even have any sort of bar ramifications anymore. And now he's the judge that told him to turn the planes around, and he's the judge that has assigned himself to the Hegseth case. It's supposed to be random, not the chief judge of the circuit assigning himself one case after another, which is what Boasberg is doing. That's the status of our judicial system in this country right now. Go to the next one for me. Bill Mnuchin tweet, federal judge, good luck with his name, Araceli Martinez Olguin, Biden appointee, of course, in the Northern District of California, of course, has blocked the Trump administration for terminating funding for legal counsel for unoccupied migrant minors. She has issued a temporary restraining order that will stop the Trump administration from ending the funding while the merits of the underlying case play out. So we're going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars on cases where the person has no right to a trial. That's being a Democrat in 2025. The order will take effect tomorrow and last until at least April 16th. In her decision, she writes, the court finds that the continued funding of legal representation for unoccupied, unaccompanied children promotes efficiency and fairness within the immigration system. Judge Olguin was an immigration attorney prior to President Biden nominating her for the federal bench in July of 2022. She was confirmed in February 2023. Now, this next video is the video of the night from Mike Pence. Video of the night, video of the day for me. So you always wonder, why is it that the Supreme Court won't rein these federal judges in? John Roberts has authority over all of them. Does anybody wonder why that's happening? John Roberts supposed to be, I know, believe me, I know he's not a real Republican. But isn't he supposed to be a Republican or middle of the road? This certainly isn't middle of the road. When Donald Trump is now in the 70s with injunctions filed against him and all other presidents combined, the highest was like Obama at 14 or something like that. But anyway, why is it that they're not being reined in by John Roberts and the Supreme Court? There has to be a reason behind it. Is the reason nefarious? Of course it is. Play for me.
What we're seeing right now is basically the culmination of a special project that started off by NATO in the early 1990s when they were seeking to shore up control over Central and Eastern Europe. We instituted these rule of law programs, anti-corruption programs, and sought to actually control the judiciary and the court systems in all these post-Soviet countries that were liberated after we won the Cold War. And no one really cared in the United States our systems of control over the judiciary and just how crazy it was having the CIA, the State Department, USAID, and all the exchange programs between our own judiciary and foreign judiciaries to control judges and prosecutors in foreign countries. Of course, famously, we did this in Ukraine as well with Viktor Shokin and Joe Biden himself leaning on the on the Ukrainian government to bribe them with a $1 billion USAID loan in order to get rid of their prosecutor when he started sniffing it, Hunter Biden. But the fact is this has come fully home to roost. One thing that I find utterly fascinating that I learned this week because of a great account on X called Listen to Learn, goes by the researcher. He found an incredible clip of Norm Eisen, no less than Norm Eisen, bragging recently that while he was the U.S. ambassador to the Czech Republic, meaning the head of the State Department of the Czech Republic, the former Czechoslovakia, that a man you may have heard of by the name of Chief Justice John Roberts himself traveled to the Czech Republic to meet with Norm Eisen, not just meet with Norm Eisen, but stay at his home, Norm Eisen's 150-room mansion in the Czech Republic at the time. John Roberts traveled to the Czech Republic for a week to work on American and EU rule of law issues. And Norm Eisen said because of this, he has known John Roberts now for coming up on 15 years and considers him a close friend. And that, to me, signifies something very dark about what's happening at the SCOTUS level right now. It may help explain why SCOTUS declined to hear any of the election integrity issues in 2020 and has ruled fairly, I would say, unfavorably with Trump in terms of overturning these district court judges going after Trump here in the U.S. But the fact is judiciary is rogue all around in this upside down world that we're living in right now.
I mean, did everybody hear that? I wish my voice was better right now because I'd love to be screaming. But
100%.
Why in the world would John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, be flying to the Czech Republic? Can anybody explain that to me? That's just question one. Why would that ever happen? It's just like all the people that show up. Why would the FBI director be at the World Economic Forum, Christopher Wray, in 2024? And not only does he fly to the Czech Republic, which he has no business being at because that's nothing to do with the United States Supreme Court, he's meeting with, this very much reminds me of Brad Raffensperger meeting with Mark Elias right before the 2020 election. Brad Raffensperger, Secretary of State for the state of Georgia, who is a three times now elected Republican, who met with Mark Elias from Perkins Coie in April of 2020 to make it to legislate via legislate the inability to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election, which was, you had to be able, if there's any election where you'd have to be able to adjudicate ballots the night of the election, it's your first mass mail-in election. They made it impossible to do so together. Mark Elias, who is everything antithetical to anything conservative, anything, but the conservative Secretary of State meets with them by themselves, and they come up with this plan to make it impossible to adjudicate ballots and actually institute it into law without ever going through a congressional proceeding. Weird. Because I thought Brad Raffensperger would be an enemy of Mark Elias, but no, they're not. Because most Republicans are actually globalist leftists. Well, that's what John Roberts is. He's meeting with Norm Eisen, the one that's orchestrating all of these lawsuits against Donald Trump right now and all of these injunctions. That's why John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett came out against stopping these lawsuits and ruling against these judges. Even though they went on the record in just typical lukewarm fashion, they called the judge in one of the cases had judicial hubris. In other words, overstepping his bounds. But then if you're overstepping your bounds, then how do you side with that judge?
Right.
But then they side with the judge after saying that he's overstepping his bounds. So John Roberts, according to Norm Eisen is close friends with the SCOTUS, is warring via judge shopping and lawfare against Donald Trump right now, and John Roberts stays very quiet. When John Roberts traveled to the Czech Republic to stay at Norm Eisen's 100-room mansion for a week to discuss judiciary systems in the Czech Republic.
What?
Yeah, I just wondered, did you honeypot him while he was there? Is that what happened? Maybe all these people aren't, you know, he's got the perfect sort of conservative haircut like I do. You know, he just looks all perfect, but is he? So there you know. I mean, I'm talking about Norm Eisen is the biggest lump of human feces you could ever imagine, ever drawing oxygen into their lungs. He is a worthless piece of crap, and he's best buds with John Roberts. John Roberts, alleged Bush nominee, conservative, right? Meeting with not just somebody who's, he's not meeting with Bill Maher, who's an idiot, but yet does some things right. He's meeting with the absolute antithesis of all that you're supposed to represent. And you go meet, you don't just meet with him, you spend a week with him, just like Raffensperger meeting with Mark Elias from Perkins Coie. All right, let's go to the next one. Juanita Broderick tweet, DNC chairman is, this is DNC chairman, Ken Martin. Can you guys scoot that up? Is that the best?
No, that's it. Yeah.
Oh man, I must have been me.
I'll see if I can find a better pick.
It just shows a smashed up Cybertruck, and I just can't see it as good. Anyway, DNC chairman Ken Martin is inciting violence against Tesla. Who's the loser, Ken? Your approval rating is now, this just came out on CNN today, the lowest in recorded history to the Democratic Party. They're out there, and all these people are so excited. You had Cory Booker, break the filibuster record. He spoke for 25 straight hours. Breaking the filibuster record, saying absolutely nothing for 20. They're all excited. You know, they had the win in Wisconsin. They're saying the economy is gonna tank because of tariffs. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Aaron. Then this is what you're advocating for. You wonder why you're polling at 21%. And this is again DNC chairman Ken Martin.
Yeah.
That's what he's putting out there. I mean, and you're gonna say, and again, according to Democratic Party rules, you have any sort of tacit connection to any sort of violence, you're responsible for it. Remember that. All right, let's go next. We've got to show you these. We'll just run these both side back to back, guys. side by side on both times because I think they're both quiet.
Yeah.
And just run the one right after another. All right, Colin Rugg video first, Derek Evans video second. So here are these kids. Look at this daughter right here. While the mother keys the car. Run it back for me, Will. Just want to make sure everybody sees this. I told you I could play these videos. We could do a 6-hour podcast on these videos alone.
Easily.
Look at the mother. King, the Tesla, while her daughter, who looks like about, what, 8 or 9?
Yeah.
Flips the bird to a camera
she knows
is taping her mother commit a felony.
What?
Great parenting. Go to the next one for me. Well, it's just one isolated case. No, it's not. Here's another one from Derek Evans. Here's another mother carrying it, or whatever that is, carrying a pizza. And look, there's the daughter flipping the bird to the cameras while the son keys the car. It's a Democrat. That's what it means to be a Democrat. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. All right, let's go to the next one. I put these kind of in the wrong order, but that's all right. So this is the Institute for Peace. And as Elon Musk put out, whenever a government actually names themselves, they're the opposite of that which they're naming themselves.
Yeah.
So Institute of Peace means Institute of Warfare, Institute of Non-Peace, whatever you want to call it, Institute of Totalitarianism. Elon Musk, which is the Institute of Peace, deleted a terabyte of financial data to cover their crimes, but they don't understand technology, so Doge, of course, recovered it. All right, go to the next one for me. A man of memes video, and this is the older millennial speaking. Here's an outline of everything they recovered. Play for me.
Y'all remember when the United States Institute for Peace managed to delay for one day Doge coming in to investigate them? Well, we recently discovered what they did during that 24 hours. Well, the very first thing they did was delete an entire terabyte of data that linked them to payments to not only Taliban leaders, not only Iraqi leaders, but also leadership from Al-Qaeda. Now, thankfully, those kids that Doge has working for them, yeah, they're a little bit better with technology than the people at the Institute for Peace. And they were able to recover 99.9% of the data. So now we have a record of the United States Institute for Peace funding those three terrorist organizations. With your money. Oh, they also found that the management of United States Institute for Peace, yeah, they were funneling money into a little slush fund they had. A fund that was mainly used for private events and private air travel. You know, can't have these people flying commercial. No, they were booking private planes. Oh, and to make sure this money avoided as much congressional oversight as possible, even though they had a full staff of accountants in the building, they were paying a private accountant $2.2 million to handle the outside money. Oh, yeah, and coincidentally, that accountant happened to be married to one of the board members.
And if you're a Democrat, you want to continue on funding the Institute for Peace. When you're out there, and it's just like Jim Banks, when he told that fired HHS worker in the senatorial hall there that you deserved it, he did deserve it. He did nothing, and what he does all day is follow Republican senators up and down the halls asking them ridiculous questions. So he got what he deserved. And if you're a Democrat in 2025, you're in favor of continuing millions of dollars going to the following: the Taliban, the Iraqi leadership, Al-Qaeda, you want all that to continue. And then you want to continue to fund the government agency that deleted the terabyte of information showing where they were spending the money. Did everybody get that? You want the money to go there if you're a Democrat, and you want to continue to fund it. You want to continue to fund this governmental entity called the Institute for Peace. You want to continue them funding terrorist organizations, and you want to continue to fund them to delete their expenditures, the record of their expenditures to these terrorist organizations, not to mention funneling tons of money to a private slush fund for events and planes. And the private slush fund, even though they already had accountants attached to the Institute for Peace, they hired one that was private. Private accountant, who an account is a perfect word, accountability. So an accountant, a private accountant, me and that, you and I, paid this private accountant that ran their slush fund for the Institute for Peace employees for their private events and their own private jets. They hired that private accountant, who was related to a person at the Institute for Peace, $2.2 million. So then you have nepotism.
Yeah.
So you have one of the employees, a Democrat, for the Institute of Peace, hiring their own wife or husband to be the accountant for $2.2 million a year to cover up their private slush fund. And if you're a Democrat, you want to continue on. This is why we have this Wall Street Apes video. Play for me, Will.
One. Holy Toledo. Voters' views of the Democrats in Congress among all voters disapprove 68%. And look at the approved number, just 21%, even lower than the Democratic Party at large. This is the lowest on record for Democrats, according to Quinnipiac University polling. You think these numbers are bad? Let's go to this side of the screen. We'll look how Democratic voters feel. Get this. The plurality of Democratic voters disapprove of Democrats in Congress at 49%, and just 40% approve. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Oh, my goodness gracious, you just can't get worse than these numbers.
And this is the number right here really driving.
Now, why are these numbers so bad? Just cue that next one up for me, Will. Eric Dory video. Why are these numbers so bad for Democrats? You have that ready? Okay, yep. Play for me.
To have the sitting attorney general go on, and I'm going to call it faux news. I know some of y'all love it, but it's fake to me. To have her go on Fox News and to then decide that she wanted to send a threat to me, it was wrong. Because here it is, she is the highest law enforcement agent in this country, and people are watching and they are consuming this information and they are believing that simply because I decided that I wanted to exercise my right to free speech, which I am not abridged from doing, that she then wanted to then politicize something that should not be politicized. I don't like Elon Musk. I'm gonna say it 50,000 times. I don't like him. I don't like that he going out there and he firing people. I think that he's a crook because somehow the rest of us can't sit around and get whatever federal contracts we want. The rest of us can't sit around and get law enforcement and get them somehow ordained as federal law enforcement to protect him. The rest of us can't get our dealerships protected by the federal government.
It's a clapback you've got to see. You probably heard what Jasmine Crockett said about Byron Donalds on that guy Lenny's radio show. She sat there and called out his wife because of her race and then went on this rant. Now, I interviewed Byron Donalds a little while ago. You've got to see his reaction. Do not stop watching this. It's going to blow your mind.
And if we continue to put people into office, and that even means some of our skin folk who definitely are not our kin folk, such as Byron Donalds, who are going to continue to say that, like, I mean, the fact that you sitting around talking about life was better under Jim Crow, like, is this because you don't understand history? Or literally it's because you married a white woman and so you think that that whitewashed you?
You married a white woman, so you think that whitewashes you. Well, I had Byron Donalds on. He's running for governor of the great state of Florida, and it was just a great conversation. But he went there. You got to see this.
First and foremost, don't talk about my wife. Keep my wife out of this. Ain't got nothing to do with her. You can talk to me about policy anytime you want to. Secondarily, there was a couple of times on the campaign trail last year where I know I was booked to be on stage or to be in debate with Jasmine, and all of a sudden, her schedule changed. She had a conflict, whatever the case might be. So if she wants to do this, if she wants to have that debate, I'm easy to find. You know, you ain't got to look hard for me. You know, I'm 6'2". You can find me. It's pretty easy. Number three, and most importantly, this demonstrates, frankly, the racism in the Democrat Party, because they don't have a problem when Kamala Harris is married to a white man or when Ketanji Brown Jackson's married to a white man, right, as long as they subscribe to the politics of the Democratic left. As long as you do that.
So just the racism with Jasmine Crockett right there. That's why, one of the reasons why they're polling at 21%. Here, there's just a couple quotes from her in those two videos. That he going out there and firing people. That's what she said from the halls of Congress. That he going out there and firing people. That's a quote from a sitting member of Congress. She calls Byron Donalds skin folk and says, talks about him marrying not kinfolk, skin folk.
Wow.
And he talks about him being whitewashed because he married a white woman. Now, what if we just flip the script there in any way, shape, or form? And we talked about that calling, saying that a guy was blackwashed because he married a black woman. If it's racism for me to talk like that, how is it not racism for her to talk like that? Look at this Gunther Eagleman tweet. Just wondered, another great accomplishment by President Donald J. Trump. That's not it. No, go back. There you go. Breaking: Black Lives Matter Plaza in front of the White House is officially gone. The text has been removed. The street signs are gone. Everything is gone. Black Lives Matter Plaza no longer exists. All right, 10:15. That's good. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Hope my voice will be better tomorrow night. Rumble Rants, Nate Dad. Nate Dad won. Thank you so much. $100. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Love you guys. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.